Community Health, Autumn 2017. Caring for you close to home. Provided by Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust. Dealing with dementia. Dementia is cruel, unforgiving and indiscriminate, but there is lots of support out there, as you can hear in our special feature in this issue. Meeting Terry Penfold, whose mum Joyce was diagnosed with dementia 2 years ago, you realise that dementia hits at the heart of any family living with it. Sadly, Joyce died at the beginning of September, but Terry felt the subject was too important not to share. So thank you, Terry. Living with the condition can be incredibly challenging for everyone involved. So find out how our community hospitals are making changes to the way they help patients with dementia and why our charity iCare is launching the Forget Me Not appeal. Then there is the Dementia Cafe, where some dedicated young people are doing all they can to make life a little bit easier for people, and the Alzheimer's Society gives advice about local help that's available. Also in this issue, how we performed in 2016-17 and our Governor's Report. Enjoy, Faye. From the editor, Faye Sinclair. 01622 211947. Email faye.sinclair1@nhs.net. Our features. The Birdsong Way. How Amanda is trialling a new way of caring. Dementia Focus. Our focus on living with dementia. Let's hear it for the boys. Our children's hearing service offers SIP and sign sessions at schools. Looking after Lisa. Providing dental care to people with special needs. Our governors, a look back at the year that was, 2016-17. Annual report, our achievements during the past 12 months. You can read our magazine online, www.kentcht.nhs.uk/magazine. Follow us on Facebook, Kent Community Health. Tweet us at NHS Kent CHFT. Like us on LinkedIn. Advertise. If you would like to advertise in this magazine, please phone Charlotte Morgan on 01622 211 940. Write to us. Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust. The Oast, Hermitage Court, Hermitage Lane, Barming, Maidstone, Kent, ME16 9NT. The team. Editor-in-Chief Julia Rogers, 01622 211 944. Email juliarogers1@nhs.net. News editor Chloe Crouch. Designers Julie Bignall, Karen Kelly. Contributors Joe Trahan, Anna Hind and Beverly Bryant.
Your shout. We love it when you tell us what you think. There are many ways you can feedback to help us improve services or get involved. Trauma for Phoebe. When reading Community Health, your article on sepsis struck a real chord. My four-year-old granddaughter Phoebe was blue-lighted to King's from Tunbridge Wells Hospital with a brain tumour, which had been confirmed by emergency CT scan and MRI. As a family, we had been worried sick because of the many symptoms she was experiencing. But unfortunately, they had not been diagnosed, and it ended up being a very traumatic time for Phoebe and her mum and dad. She had two operations, one 5 hours and the other 9 hours, to remove fluid, and then the tumour, which were brilliantly performed by Mr. Zebian at King's. The charity HeadSmart provides a marvellous card that highlights the symptoms for children from birth to 18. As a family, we are desperate to spread the word about early diagnosis of brain tumours to try to prevent this happening to other families. Sue Blockley, Rootham. Find out more at www.headsmart.org.uk, where you can use the diagnosis checker to see if your child could be displaying the signs of a brain tumour. Symptoms can include persistent, recurrent vomiting, abnormal eye movements, fits or seizures, and blurred or double vision. For a full list, visit www.headsmart.org.uk. Magazine is a breath of fresh air. How refreshing it is to read your magazine, and I'm delighted to see it's available to read online. I signed up to be a member of the Trust at a community event in Gravesend. I commend you for showing just how much positive work the NHS and other public organisations are doing. Colin Wheatley, Strood. Wheelie Good Service. I visited the South East Drivability Centre and was seen in relation to adaptations for my new Motability car. I was so impressed with the service, another side of the NHS. I feel really confident that I will be able to make the right choice of car and learn to drive in a manner that causes me less pain, allowing me to be more active. Vicky Kelleher, Chatham, via Facebook. Diversity Community Group loved the spotlight. We were thrilled to see our council profiled in the last issue of your magazine. We are always keen to hear from people in Canterbury who we can support or who might be interested in our work. Email us at emiccanterbury@gmail.com. Bakul Chandola, Secretary, Ethnic Minority Independent Council for Canterbury. Get involved. Want to have your say? Contact our customer care team. Phone 0300 123 1807. Text 07899 903 499. Email kcht.cct@nhs.net. Want to volunteer for us? Want to help out? To find out more about volunteering with us, contact Maria on 01474 360508. Email maria.swaby@nhs.net or Caroline on 01795 418300 or email caroline.wheeler@nhs.net. Want to become a member? If you'd like to become a member of our trust, visit www.kentcht.nhs.uk/FT and fill in the online form. You can also phone 01233 667 827 or email kcht.membership@nhs.net to request a membership form. Community health news. Protecting kids against flu. Do you have or do you know someone with a child aged between 4 and 9 years old? If so, make sure they are protected from flu this winter by having them vaccinated. Nurses from our immunisations team will be out and about offering the flu vaccine to all children in reception year, as well as years 1, 2, 3 and 4 in Kent, Medway and East Sussex from October to December. It's the first time we have been able to vaccinate children in reception year and year 4. Our nurses will go into schools to make sure all 120,000 eligible children are offered the vaccination, a safe, quick, pain-free nasal spray. Parents will be sent consent forms via their child's school in advance. The campaign follows a successful launch of the programme 2 years ago, which saw our nurses vaccinate more than 28,000 schoolchildren, ensuring a high rate of immunity against the virus. Immunisation manager Karen Keswick said, "We urge all parents and carers to make sure they return their child's consent form so they can receive their vaccination at school and be protected from flu this winter. If children are homeschooled or do not attend mainstream school, we will be contacting parents separately to arrange for their child to be vaccinated. If you have any questions, you can phone the immunisation service on 0300 123 5205 or email kcht.cyp-immunisationteam@nhs.net. Adults and older children considered to be at risk can receive their flu vaccine from their GP. For more details and to check if you are at risk, please check the NHS Choices website. Our brave nurse looked after Texan flood victims. One of our sexual health outreach nurses helped hundreds of victims left homeless by Hurricane Harvey in Texas at the beginning of September, despite being on holiday. Eileen Watley, who was in the USA visiting her family, signed up to help after seeing a plea for medically trained staff on Facebook. She dedicated her evenings to making sure people got medication and supplies from the local pharmacy. KCHFT named as Top 10 Improved Trust. The National Institute of Health Research published its 2016-2017 Research League Table, and KCHFT has been named as one of the top 10 most improved trusts in Kent, Surrey and Sussex. The report shows we have increased the number of studies we took part in by nearly double on the previous year. We are one of the top 10 recruiting trusts, with an overall increase in recruitment to all studies. Dads receive unlimited health advice at One You Shop. A support group for men going through family crisis teamed up with health improvement experts for a day of fun, healthy living advice and support at the One You Shop. With their children in tow, the men from Dads Unlimited were welcomed to the Ashford Shop, which offers advice on stopping smoking, weight management, exercise, as well as blood pressure, health checks and health MOTs, all under one roof. Dads Unlimited, a charity founded by Nav Mirza in 2016, which has so far helped more than 650 dads across the UK, offers emotional, mental and legal support to fathers who are full-time carers, widows or who have recently experienced a family breakdown. Nav said, "When I went through my own divorce a few years ago, I was suddenly solely responsible for the upbringing of my child. It really felt like there was no one out there to support me, a single dad." When men go through this process, they tend to have so many things to think and worry about that their own health can suffer. I hoped I could help them come out the other side as stronger men and better parents. The group meets once a month to provide emotional support, and the charity also helps dads with instant access to counselling and mental health support. Health improvement specialist Tracy Tomkinson said, "It has been brilliant to interact with the children at the same time as being able to support dads with their own health. While one dad was having his blood pressure checked, the rest of our team explained the dangers of smoking and eating too much sugar to the children. The final showstopper was a race around the shopping centre in the fat suit to demonstrate how just an extra 6 pounds of body weight can make a difference to your health and well-being." The One You Shop is provided by Ashford Borough Council and Kent County Council's Public Health Team. You can find out more about Dads Unlimited at www.dadsunltd.org.uk. Amazing Yanis is our world champion. Congratulations to Yanis Christodoulou, market and information analyst, who competed at this year's World Aquathlon Championships. KCHFT's Yanis travelled to Canada to compete in the event, which sees athletes complete a 1,000-metre swim, followed by a 5,000-metre run. He also had the privilege of captaining the GB aquathlon team. Claire goes back to the floor. Watching firsthand the difference our therapists make to families was a rewarding way to spend a morning for Deputy Chief Operating Officer Claire Poole. Claire's visit was part of our Back to the Floor programme. Colleagues from our executive team regularly spend a day with staff and patients to see how things are working on the ground and where they can support improvements. Claire, who is also Community Services Director for Public Health, is responsible for children and young people's services, adult health improvement, sexual health and dental services. She spent time with the team, sat in on appointments and spoke to parents about their experiences. She said, "On this occasion, back to the floor literally meant back to the floor, as I observed two therapists working on the floor with a one-year-old baby with developmental delay. The baby was at the session with his mother, but he was anxious and unsettled." Claire said, "I was very impressed at how the therapists managed to work via the mother, gently prompting her as to where to place her hands on her baby son's body to encourage his ability to learn to sit and balance independently without giving him too much support. They had to keep their distance so as not to upset him. I was struck at how important it is for the therapists to build trust and rapport with parents and carers, particularly when, as in this case, the exact nature of her baby's difficulties are not yet known. Working with family members is clearly such a huge part of how the Children's Therapies team makes sure they have a big positive impact on the children in their care."
Knitting needles at the ready to help restless hands. Almost 100 twiddle moths were donated to our community hospitals, thanks to the hard work and generosity of volunteers who gave up their time to help patients with dementia and restless hands. First Eastry Guides and Senior Section rose to learning a new skill and providing something useful for their community when they donated the twiddle muffs. A twiddle muff is a double thickness hand muff with bits and bobs attached inside and out. This is designed to provide stimulation and activity. At the end of their stay with us, patients can take their twiddle muff home with them. Some girls had participated in dementia awareness training and they were keen to learn how to knit, so Eastry Guide Leader Jules Parkin organised sessions for their nans and mums to come in and teach them how to wield the knitting needles. Jules said, "The girls rose to the challenge brilliantly. We are really proud of them. Two girls knitted 30 twiddle muffs between them. We are thrilled they are going to good use."
Time to get involved? Listening to you and what you tell us is one of the best ways for us to improve the services we provide. Your feedback is invaluable, which is why we're recruiting to our patient experience and advisory groups. Can you help? The Kent Continence Service Patient Experience Group. If you or a family member have used the service in the past 2 years, join us. The group meets 3 times a year in Ashford, and we will pay your travel expenses. Kent Sexual Health Public Advisory Group. The group looks at patient feedback, new resources, and discusses service changes. You do not have to say if you are or have been a patient, or if you are the carer of someone who is. The group meets every 2 months in Maidstone or Ashford. We also have spaces in our Medway Sexual Health Public Advisory Group for clients in Medway. Community Hospital Patient Experience Groups. If you or a loved one has been a patient at one of our community hospitals, your experience could help us change how we care for people. We meet 3 times a year. For more information, phone Claire Doran on 01233 667 810 or email kchft.involveme@nhs.net. News nuggets, what you might have missed. The way forward for Edenbridge. A combined hospital and GP surgery in Edenbridge has moved a step closer after overwhelming support from the public. West Kent Clinical Commissioning Group decided to progress with the preferred option to combine the hospital and surgery on a new site. 94% of people responding to a survey carried out as part of a 3-month public consultation backed a combined hospital surgery. 79% supported the preferred option for services to be provided in a new building on a new site with additional day services, such as intravenous drips and no inpatient beds. KCHFT, which provides almost all services based at the hospital and in people's homes in Edenbridge, backed the preferred option, as did the GP partners of Edenbridge Medical Practice. A group is now working on potential sites, planning and finances. Championing end-of-life care. Ambitions for end-of-life care and the challenges of providing palliative care were just two of the topics discussed by KCHFT clinicians who focus on looking after you at the end of your life. The sessions for KCHFT staff are being delivered with the Pilgrims Hospice East Kent and the Heart of Kent Hospice West Kent. They give professionals the chance to share experiences and talk about best practice. The Trust's EOL champions are people who are keen to develop their understanding of end of life. They act as a resource for our clinical staff around all end of life issues. Your views on future of NHS and social care in Kent and Medway. We have been holding a series of listening events about future plans for health and social care in Kent and Medway. Your feedback plays a vital role in shaping the development and delivery of these plans. We are beginning to build a picture of local needs and pressures on health and social care services. You can read about some of the themes of this feedback in the latest news section on the Kent and Medway NHS website. Broadly, you support ideas around caring for more people close to home. Also discussed were the importance of family and friends in a patient's recovery, the difficulties of travel to services, fears around if there is enough money to support the changes, and the importance of working with voluntary and community organisations. At the listening events, proposals for how future hospital services will be decided upon were shared. Find out more at www.kentandmedway.nhs.uk. Inspection time. The Care Quality Commission has told us that we will be inspected, probably at the beginning of next year. KCHFT is rated good by the CQC, and the visit is part of the regular programme of inspections carried out at all trusts across the UK. Top recruiter for dental study. Our dental team recruited the highest number of people to a national survey, which investigated whether a specially trained dental nurse-led service would prevent new tooth decay in children, as well as improve dental health behaviour in parents or guardians using motivational interviewing techniques. This will benefit patients. Meet the innovators. Getting patients home faster, a partnership making sure people drink enough water, and a new home for our successful orthotic service. It's been a busy few months. Here's what we have been up to. Don't dry out campaign. Are you drinking enough during the day? That is central to a campaign aiming to make older people aware of the need to keep their thirst quenched. The initiative, launched at the refurbished Hawkhurst Community Hospital, was a joint effort by Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust and South East Water. The celebratory tea party helped dietetic assistant Chloe Gallagher to get the message across. Chloe said, "The campaign is all about making sure people get enough to drink throughout the day, particularly in hot weather. Quite often people don't drink enough, which is why the main message is to have 8 big drinks every day. The benefits of drinking enough, including fewer headaches, keeping skin healthy, less tiredness and confusion, and moist lips." Chloe took along notepads, posters, coasters and room thermometers as part of the Don't Dry Out hydration campaign. The pads and reusable posters are specially designed to help people keep track of what they've had to drink, Chloe said. Sheila Bowdery, South East Water's customer care manager, said, "We are 100% behind the Don't Dry Out campaign. We are passionate about water. This excellent campaign highlights the benefits of drinking plenty of water-based drinks throughout the day. To find out more about hydration, visit kentcht.nhs.uk or southeastwater.co.uk. Voyage of Discovery. Our orthotics team, known as Discovery Orthotics, has a new home. The service, which provides custom-made insoles to businesses and organisations all over the UK, has moved from Victoria Memorial Hospital to a new base in Sandwich. As well as this, Discovery Orthotics provides off-the-shelf products that it sells and delivers orthotic manufacturing services to other NHS trusts. The team will be based at Discovery Park. Giving patients the green light. Supporting patients to regain their independence and getting them home faster and safely is the aim of our Home First initiative. The inpatient team at Hawkhurst Community Hospital has launched its Red to Green board to make sure patients are regularly reviewed as part of this. Watch this short film, https://vimeo.com/22124973, where discharge support nurse Caroline Eisenhigh explains how a simple colour-coded notice board is bringing health professionals together and achieving better results for patients. Find out more about Hawkhurst Hospital later on.
Something you need a little bit of advice about. Our team of experts can answer all your questions. Our experts. Rachel Dakin. Rachel is our lead specialist nurse for dementia. She qualified as a mental health nurse in 1984. And with more than 25 years' experience working in dementia care, Rachel joined KCHFT in 2013 to lead our dedicated dementia nursing team. She is a dementia champion for Alzheimer's Society and has recently completed dementia studies with the University of Bradford. Rebecca Clayton-Higgins. Rebecca trained and qualified as a nurse in London in 1985 and has spent the majority of her career working in care homes. She joined KCHFT in 2013 as part of the Specialist Dementia Service. Becky is passionate about patient care and supporting colleagues to understand how we can best support people living with dementia. It is impossible to ignore the symptoms that dementia causes in people and the feelings of their loved ones, but it is possible to find a way to understand it and ultimately live with it. Here, two of our specialist nurses explain more about the condition, how we support people with it and their families, and how you can help if you are worried about a loved one having memory issues. There are 850,000 people with dementia in the UK. Question: what is dementia? Rachel: the term dementia is used to describe symptoms which may be caused by a number of illnesses that damage the brain. People with dementia often show a progressive decline in their memory, reasoning, communication skills, and the ability to carry out daily activities. Individuals may develop behavioural and psychological symptoms such as depression, psychosis, aggression, and have a tendency to wander off. The most common types of dementia are Alzheimer's disease, dementia with Lewy bodies, frontal temporal dementia, vascular dementia, and a combination of two or more conditions called mixed dementia. Question: who is affected by dementia and how? Rebecca: dementia can affect anyone, but your risk of developing dementia increases as you get older. The condition usually occurs in people over the age of 65. Adults with Down syndrome are more likely to develop dementia than the general population. Each person's experience of living with dementia will be unique, and the progression of their illness will depend on a variety of factors. The type of dementia is important, but also the person's physical health, including any other health conditions they may have, their emotional resilience, and the support available to them. Dementia can also have a profound impact on relatives and loved ones as they provide emotional, psychological, and physical support. Question: how do we support people with dementia? Rachel: We work hard to care for people with dementia who use our service. We use the Alzheimer Society's document, This Is Me, which helps record who the person is and their likes and dislikes for when they are unable to tell us, so we can make sure we are providing care that is personal and effective. We are making our hospitals dementia-friendly so patients do not feel confused or isolated when they stay with us, and they are encouraged to take part in daily activities to keep them social and stimulated. Our colleagues receive training to give them the skills to support people with dementia and to identify early signs where someone may be struggling with memory loss problems or confusion. We have developed a finger food menu for our hospitals so people who find it difficult to eat with cutlery can still enjoy a healthy, balanced meal. And we run reminiscence events to encourage people to talk about their childhood and things they can remember from when they were young. We have an army of dementia champions throughout the Trust ready to support colleagues, patients and their carers with extra knowledge, skills and advice. Question: what should someone do if they're concerned about any memory loss issues they or a loved one is having? Rebecca: if someone is concerned about any issues related to memory problems, they should make an appointment to talk to their GP, who can carry out some tests. This may include blood tests, memory tests and in some cases a brain scan. The GP could also talk to loved ones or carers to better understand concerns, as it may not be dementia, but another underlying condition causing the symptoms. Question: what support is available for people living with dementia and their relatives or carers? There is a range of support and services available to people living with dementia and their families and carers. You can find out more in our special feature on dementia later on. The Burtzorg Way. A radical new way of nursing devised in the Netherlands, which puts power back in the hands of the professionals, is being piloted by us to improve patient care. Julia Rogers found out more about the self-managing teams which have thrown the rulebook away. Just over a decade ago, four nurses in the small Netherlands town of Almelo realised that years of reform had undermined their relationships with patients. They thought they had a better way and set up a social enterprise company, Burtzorg, meaning neighbourhood care, to care for older people in their own homes. They wanted to put the human touch back into their care and simplify the health and social care system. So their idea was to give the power back to nurses and develop teams without managers. The team of 12 handled every aspect of care, from assessment to sharing, recruitment and rotas, covering populations of 10,000 to 20,000. The ethos was the client comes first. Care plans are created with patients and families, and a neighbourhood of support is built around the patient, so work with other professionals happens easily across organisational boundaries. It proved a huge success, with better patient outcomes and satisfaction, and has now grown to 850 teams and 10,000 nurses, delivering better care at a lower cost. Their back office consists of just 45 people, with one regional coach for every 50 teams. In August last year, Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust, with partners Kent County Council, Medway Community Healthcare and West Kent Clinical Commissioning Group, identified funding to run a 6-month Burtzorg pilot from April to September this year. Guy's and St Thomas's is also trialling the model. Our team, known as One Care, is made up of three nurses: Alison Ogilvie, Michelle Martin, Rebecca Lamb and healthcare assistant Julie Hay. They support patients at College Road GP practice in Maidstone. There are no managers in the team, but the team takes on lead roles in, for example, finance or recruitment, while their coach, Angela Bean, provides light touch support to aid the team's decision making. Free of bureaucracy, the team provides support 8 a.m. to 6 p.m, 7 days a week, to a small caseload of older patients with complex needs and long-term conditions in their own homes. They manage themselves and have someone who acts as a heat shield to protect them from having to follow the policies and procedures of the Trust, but ensuring safety. Alison Ogilvie, who has been nursing for 20 years, explained, "Patients were told about the programme and asked if they wanted to take part in a pilot. Earlier this year, we went to the Netherlands to see Burtzorg in practice, which was fascinating. The real change is there's no distinction between health and social care, and the care is front-loaded, so nurses spend a lot of time when they first meet a patient getting to know them, including what they want to achieve. They also draw in the community resources the patient needs to support them. If they need help washing, some support making the bed, or the floor needs cleaning so you can care for a wound on their leg, you have the time to do it. There's a real ethos of doing what's necessary, and we're free to make the best clinical decisions, so it's really empowering for us too. It gives us back the power and trust to do the very best for our patients. Q&A with Ruth Heron, Deputy Chief Nurse. How do you ensure quality in the teams if they manage themselves? While the team does not follow the trust procedures and policies, it does follow Birdsorg's framework. How did you decide which patients take part? The team agreed to follow the same criteria as the community nurses. They felt this would allow them to work with patients with a range of health and social care conditions. Patients must be over 18 years old and have a health need. They will also support their patients' social care needs in this pilot. What outcomes do you expect? Birdsorg evaluation has shown that while the care might cost more per hour than a traditional approach, it had higher levels of patient satisfaction, a shorter length of intervention with each patient, improved outcomes and increased self-management of conditions. The nurses report to be fulfilled and happy in their work, and staff retention is better. There are also significant cost savings in administration, support and management costs, which are transferred into the delivery of frontline care. How does this fit in with the STP plans? Bringing health and social care more closely together is what we are trying to achieve with our sustainability and transformation partnership. We hope the lessons we learn from this can be built into any future designs. What Amanda says. 2 years ago, Amanda Kenny was working in real estate, clocking up her 2000th skydive, taking regular trips out on her boat and enjoying life in Spain by the sea. But in June 2015, after waking up one morning with a swollen neck, she was diagnosed with advanced and inoperable throat cancer. Instead of embarking on the epic travelling adventure she had planned, 30 gruelling sessions of radiotherapy followed, which, while successful, damaged Amanda's ability to swallow. Amanda, who used to smoke 20 a day, said, "I'm now cancer-free, but the damage from the radiotherapy means I can't swallow, so I can't eat or drink, and have to be fed through a tube in my stomach." To add to the huge change in Amanda's lifestyle, she then had to have a bone graft to fuse her cervical spine. In 2016, after returning to the UK, she was treated in hospital for an abscess on her spine, which in turn affected the nerve roots in her hands, causing pain and making everyday tasks a challenge. In May, Amanda was again admitted to hospital with an infection and was seen by our rapid response service before being asked if she wanted to take part in our Birdsorg trial and be cared for by our One Care team. The team visits Amanda twice a day to set up her feed as she struggles to do it herself because of the movement in her hands, prepare her flush, and also to dress a wound on her stomach. The 60-year-old from Langley said, "It's been tough. In 2 years, my whole life has changed. I can't eat, drink or walk properly, and the nerve damage makes things a challenge. The team has been brilliant and make a huge difference to me. They have a lot more time and give me confidence." Alison said, "Birdsorg is about empowering people to take on their own care so they can be as independent as possible. Right now, Amanda's whole life revolves around her feeding and flushing the tubes through so she doesn't get an infection. Our main goal is trying to get Amanda independent. So I've brought in a speech and language therapist to help her with swallowing, as well as an occupational therapist to see if we can find aids to control with her hands to make it easier for her to use the flushers. I've also brought in Becca Clark from Kent County Council to find community and voluntary groups Amanda can join so she doesn't feel isolated. She's now taking the medication herself and we've been helping her to shower and make her bed. The new way of working means we can be much more flexible with appointments. There's reduced paperwork so I get to spend more time face to face with Amanda and the other patients we're looking after, and we hope this leads to better outcomes for our patients." Amanda said, "They've had time to help me by liaising with my GP and pharmacy to get my medication on time. Becca found me a great Spanish television programme too. I'm doing much better on my feet. They give you confidence. It's someone you could talk to and get advice. They do a great job. It would mean a lot to me to be independent again and get back to driving. I used to have a convertible sports car and I'd love to be able to drive one again. Innovation across countries. The next step is for KCHFT, alongside Kent County Council and Medway Community Healthcare, to take part in a four-year research project to help share innovation in community care across England, Belgium and France. The research is being part-funded by Health in Europe Centre. Deputy Chief Nurse Ruth Herron explained, "Across the four countries we face similar challenges of an ageing population, public funding decreasing and recruiting and retaining a health and social care workforce. We each have areas of innovation, but these rarely get transferred from one country to another, so we are working on a way to do just that. What we'd like to achieve is a blueprint for transforming the way we deliver integrated health and social care, and the Birdsorg model is the vehicle we plan to use to deliver this. We will each be adopting integrated neighbourhood teams who self-manage and provide sustainable person-centred care at low cost. What we are aiming for is 124 Birdsorg teams across the three countries by the end of the 4 years. Living with dementia. What is dementia? It is heartbreaking, life-changing and can be a long and challenging emotional journey for all involved. Dementia is chronic or persistent disorder of the mental processes caused by brain disease or injury and marked by memory disorders, personality changes and impaired reasoning. But that simply does not sum up the pain and sense of loss it brings. The way we care for patients with the disease is changing to reflect their needs and the very special care they deserve. And as we report here, help is at hand for people living with the condition and their families or carers. First, Terry Penfold talks about his beloved mum, Joyce. It's a cruel and unrelenting condition. Terry Penfold has a mischievous grin and is never happier than when he is laughing and making jokes. That has been increasingly difficult over the past 18 months, following a diagnosis of dementia for his mum, Joyce. Facing Claire went to find out the challenges he and his mother face and how one of our nursing teams has helped. Until just a couple of months ago, Joyce Penfold was living in her own flat in Hawkhurst, with carers visiting three times a day and her son Terry popping in daily. Now Joyce is living in a nursing home following a diagnosis of dementia nearly 2 years ago and several hospital stays due to this condition and other unrelated health issues. Son Terry, 66, who lives in Frittenden with wife Barbara, 69, said he first realised something was wrong when his mum started to repeat herself and had memory loss. It started off very, very slowly. To begin with, mum didn't recognise there was a problem, he said. Joyce was regularly seeing her GP for heart and kidney problems and rheumatoid arthritis, so Terry mentioned his fears and she was referred to a clinic in Tunbridge Wells. After an assessment, Joyce was placed on medication to slow down progression of the condition. Over the past few months, Joyce's medication levels have increased as her symptoms got worse. Terry said, "As a relative and carer, it takes over your life. Dementia is cruel and unrelenting on every person who is involved. Going to different places, being in different rooms can throw someone who has dementia completely. Anything that is different to their normal routine." Wife Barbara added, "Joyce sees things too, things that aren't really there. She has a cat at the end of her bed which Terry has to put outside each time he visits, but of course the cat isn't there really." Terry said, "We play along because the last thing we want to do is distress her anymore. You just have to roll with it or you upset her. It is similar for lots of people with dementia." However, a month-long stay at Hawkhurst Community Hospital earlier this year demonstrated to Terry that trained staff who know how to care for patients with dementia can make all the difference in a difficult situation. He said, "You just couldn't fault the care of everyone there, from the matron to the cleaners. They all did their bit to make mum feel as comfortable as possible." Joyce has had a tough time and several hospital stays in recent months. She suffered a fall at home and was on the floor all night before being discovered and taken to Tunbridge Wells Hospital, where she remained for a couple of weeks. Shortly before that, she was a patient in Sevenoaks Hospital after becoming run down and needing rest, recuperation and encouragement to improve her eating and drinking habits. and before her month-long stay in Hawkhurst Community Hospital, which started on her 90th birthday in April, she had been a patient at Tunbridge Cottage Hospital for the same reason. At Hawkhurst, something clicked between Joyce and those caring for her, which Terry believes is partly due to the way the inpatient ward has been redecorated, using bright colours for doors and signs to make it easier for people with dementia. Barbara said, "They were just so supportive of Joyce and us, and Joyce was really taken with the bright colours. Joyce doesn't eat or drink properly. She thinks she's full up all the time, which we understand can also be part of dementia. The staff were wonderful. They were always communicating and keeping her involved, so there were no surprises and she was reassured. Even the cleaners were having some banter with Joyce. It was a real team effort. In fact, Joyce liked it so much at Hawkhurst that she wanted to stay there," according to Terry. "There was one lady there who was very strict, but she knew exactly what to do with Mum and how to engage with her. For example, Mum refused to get into the ambulance to be driven to the nursing home, and it was she that persuaded her to get into it." Widow Joyce now lives in Iden Manor Nursing Home in Staplehurst, a short car journey away for Terry and Barbara, who continue to visit her every day. "It can be really hard sometimes. I found a picture of Mum and her brothers and I couldn't remember the name of one of them, so I showed it to Mum and said, 'I know that is Fred, but who is the other one?' She thought for a couple of minutes and came up with a name. The picture must be ancient, well over 40 years old, and she remembered. And yet, she can't remember what she had for breakfast." Forget Me Not. Can you help us help patients who have dementia? Our charity iCare is launching the Forget Me Not appeal this autumn to help raise extra money for equipment and resources that can make a patient's stay in our community hospitals a happier one. At the moment, around 23,000 people in Kent have a diagnosis of dementia. This is estimated to rise over the next 20 years to 30,000. Up to 1 in 4 inpatient beds in community hospitals are thought to be occupied by someone with a dementia diagnosis at any one time. Through iCare, we are hoping to raise £20,000 to help ensure all of our hospitals are equipped to the highest possible standard of care for these patients, and that they are supported to feel as safe and as stress-free as possible while in our care. The funds will go towards books, films and resources, hospital improvements such as improved signage and decoration, and staff training. You'll be able to find out more and how you can help at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/forget-me-not and in future issues of Community Health. Since this magazine went to print, we have sadly heard that Joyce has died. Our condolences to Terry and his family. Let's talk dementia. Local support helps you take control. The Alzheimer's Society offers lots of services for people affected by dementia in Kent and Medway, mainly using its 6 dementia support workers based in the area. Jackie Swap, Alzheimer's Society Operations Manager for Kent and Medway, said, "Being diagnosed with dementia can be a frightening and overwhelming experience. Alzheimer's Society's dementia support workers help people take control of their lives and make sense of what is happening. From understanding benefits to how dementia progresses and the importance of getting your financial affairs in order, Alzheimer's Society's dementia support workers are there to explain about the condition and also signpost people to the support services available. The team offers information and practical guidance to help people affected by dementia to understand the condition, cope with day-to-day challenges and prepare for the future. Whether it is face-to-face, over the phone or in writing, the support workers can help you to remain independent and stay active for as long as possible, get the information and advice to make informed decisions and find other local services which can help to improve your life. Find out more about support workers in Kent and Medway. Maidstone 01622 747 181. Paddock Wood, Tunbridge Wells 01892 835 540. Lym near Ashford 01303 260 674. Twitter at ALZSOCSE England. Facebook, Alzheimer's Society, South East England. Web, www.alzheimers.org.uk. 5 things you should know about dementia. 1. Dementia is not a natural part of ageing. We all forget a name or a face sometimes, especially as we get older, but dementia is something different. Memory problems are one of a number of symptoms that people with dementia may experience. Others include difficulties with planning, thinking things through, and struggling to keep up with a conversation. 2. Dementia is caused by diseases of the brain. Diseases such as Alzheimer's cause nerve cells to die, damaging the structure and chemistry of the brain. There are lots of other causes, and no two types of dementia are the same. 3. People can still live well with dementia. Although there is no cure for dementia, scientists and researchers are working hard to find one. Until that day comes, support and treatments are available that can help with symptoms and managing daily life. 4. It's not just about losing your memory. Dementia does often start by affecting the short-term memory. Dementia can also affect the way people think, speak, perceive things, feel, and behave. 5. Alzheimer's Society supports anyone affected by dementia. Call the National Dementia Helpline on 0300 222 1122 if you'd like to talk to someone for information, support, and advice. You have to see past the dementia. A passion for wanting to be involved in the local community and support people with dementia has led to students at a Kent school running a cafe for those coping with the condition. It's 4 years since the doors opened, and as Anna Hine discovered, the cafe is flourishing. 6 times a year, the Oasis Academy on the Isle of Sheppey hosts a dementia cafe aimed at getting people with the illness out and socialising with young people and those in a similar situation. Hosted by pupils, the cafe serves up tea, cake and strawberries and cream to a backdrop of fun activities and entertainment. There's photos, books and music to help set the scene and for mental stimulation. Sixth former Darcy West said, "I enjoy helping people who come to the cafe. I want a career helping others, so this is a great experience. I have no experience of dementia in my family, but what I have come to realise from the people who come to our cafe is that the person is still there. Nothing has changed, and you have to see past the dementia." Academy community leader Paul Murray, whose mother had dementia, described the students' enthusiasm for wanting to get the cafe off the ground when he initially wasn't that keen. He said, "It's really important that young people are engaged in their local community. That's why we started the Dementia Cafe at the Oasis 4 years ago. The students really enjoy volunteering at the cafe, and it shows they care. The pupils set up everything, they do all the work. I just get sent out with the shopping list." Pupil Tia Butcher sat crafting with guest Anne Surridge said, "I didn't know much about dementia before attending the training and volunteering at the cafe. It's great to interact with our guests, and they enjoy chatting with us. Annie and I have been talking about everything together. I enjoy her company and I love meeting people who come to the cafe." Annie agreed. She said, "I've not been to this cafe before, but I've had such a good time. I will definitely come back again. It's been great to chat and make new friends." Entertainment came in the form of singing from Year 1 pupils from St Edward's Catholic Primary School, plus a performance from the Academy's Year 9 dance students and Glee Club. The next Dementia Cafe is on Thursday the 12th of October from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Oasis Academy, East Campus, Minster Road, Minster-on-Sea, Sheerness, ME12, 3JQ. For more information, phone Paul Murray on 01795 873 591. The Dementia Reality. Dementia devastates lives. Research from Alzheimer's Society shows that 850,000 people in the UK have dementia, with 23,921 of these people living in Kent and Medway. By 2021, 1 million people will be living with the condition. Dementia cases are rising year on year, with 225,000 people developing the condition this year. That is 1 every 3 minutes. Travelling back in time. Caring at home for a loved one with dementia can be tough, especially when that person may have other healthcare needs. What happens if they are admitted to hospital? New surroundings, new routines, and new people can exacerbate confusion and distress. It's why our community hospitals have made some changes to the way they help patients with dementia, as Jo Traherne discovered. Time travel might not be your typical NHS treatment, but in our community hospitals they are working on ways to transport people to another era without the use of a TARDIS. Jan Harris, an occupational therapy assistant at Faversham Cottage Hospital, who leads the way supporting patients who have a dementia diagnosis, believes that time travel is the way to go. It's about taking them back to a place and a time where they feel safe, she said. Our patients with dementia can remember events from 50 years ago, but can't remember if they've eaten breakfast. It can be really confusing and upsetting for them, especially when they are also in hospital for the first time. Jan explained that part of the team's job is to make sure that patients feel safe and secure while they recover. We use special events, music and reminiscence books to take them back to a time and an era where they felt happy and confident. Last year, the hospital used money from Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust charity iCare to buy My Dementia Network, a digital system that uses music, photos and memorabilia from yesteryear to help people recall the past and contribute to their well-being. The system has a monitor that can be wheeled to a patient's bedside where they can flick through old newspapers, play music or watch films. It's all part of the holistic therapy offered by the hospital, which provides inpatient beds for 25 people, a third of whom might have a dementia diagnosis at any one time. Jan said, "We also have a large display board in the quiet area of the ward where I put up old newspaper cuttings, adverts, anything they might relate to. Patients who struggle to recall basic information will come and look at the board and say things like, 'My dad had a bike like that,' or 'We had a local butcher just like that one.' It takes them back to a time where they felt safe and healthy. They can relate to items like ration books, ID cards or photos of the royal family from when they were younger. Every now and then the hospital treats the patients in their care to music and entertainment from the era, something everyone enjoys. We had one chap who literally would not get out of his chair, but when the group's swingadillas arrived, he couldn't sit still. In the past, I set up a small shop and an office using items from earlier times. When the shop was open, patients could purchase items using old money. It all helps create a sense of belonging. The key is kindness and respect. Minimising anxiety is incredibly important for staff caring for patients with dementia, according to Rachel Dakin, lead specialist nurse for dementia. It's vital that anyone who comes into contact with patients who have dementia knows how to minimise their anxiety and treats them with kindness and respect. The key is to let people stay in familiar surroundings. If they do come into hospital, it's important to make sure that the environment is set up to reduce any anxiety. Rachel is the Trust's lead specialist nurse for dementia. A qualified mental health nurse for the past 33 years, Rachel has a track record of working with older people with dementia and brings a wealth of professional experience to the role, which was introduced to our organisation in 2013. She said, "My first encounter with dementia patients was at Rawsby Hospital in Lincolnshire, which was home to a lot of older ex-RAF pilots, many of whom had a dementia diagnosis. But a lot has changed since then. In my time in this field, I've seen the introduction of medication to treat the symptoms of dementia, and the approach to care has changed dramatically. We no longer take an institutionalised approach. Now we try to support patients to stay independent for as long as possible and give support to them and their families. There is still a stigma around mental health and dementia though, and there's so much more we can do." Rachel's role is to train colleagues to recognise and manage patients who have dementia, as well as acting as a consultant in the Trust community hospitals, helping to advise on strategies to help people who have cognitive difficulties when they are staying with us. All community hospital staff are required now to have level 2 training in dementia awareness, and this also extends to colleagues working in the community. Colour change works. Hawkhurst Community Hospital in West Kent has been completely refurbished under Rachel Dakin's watchful eye, and the hospital is now dementia friendly. Matron Jane Browning explained, The wards and corridors have all been painted in bright colours. But this isn't just about cheering the place up. Coloured handrails and doors are vital to help patients navigate their way to the toilet or to the day room. Offices, kitchens or storage rooms have pale grey or white walls to blend in with the corridors. That way, someone is much less likely to wander in by accident. Dementia can lead to colour blindness, with primary colours being the last to go. So we've painted the most important bits, like handrails and toilet doors, bright blue and red. And we've added eye-catching yellow signs to wards, toilets and communal areas. It all helps people to feel less anxious. I was frightened and embarrassed. A virtual tour that gives people a taste of what it could be like to have dementia is not something that we would all want to try. Beverly Bryant's grandmother had dementia. After caring for her before she dies, it was something Bev, who works for KCHFT, had to give a go, even though she was daunted and knew it would be a challenge. Vulnerable, scared and emotional aren't usually how you would expect to feel during a training session, but that is how I felt as I walked in the shoes of a person with dementia. First established in the US more than 20 years ago, the Virtual Dementia Tour is training like no other. It places you at the very heart of where a person with dementia is every day. I was attending a dementia awareness event organised by Kent Dementia Action Alliance, where I was given the opportunity to do the training to give me a better awareness of how to care for people with dementia. I had insoles put in my shoes, which were painful and made me unsteady, had gloves to take away my sense of touch, glasses to impair my vision, and headphones that played white noise, laughing, loud bangs and sirens. It was awful. Together, all these things give you an idea of what it's like to have dementia and all the challenges the condition brings, which is so much more than memory loss. I was sent into a room without instructions about what to do next, observed and given feedback on how I behaved. I'm told I shuffled around, talked to myself, clapped my hands, fiddled with tea towels and got frustrated, bordering on aggressive when someone insisted on trying to feed me. These are all behaviours I recognise from caring for my nan, who had dementia. While I was aware the experience would end, and I was only in simulation situation, I was frightened and embarrassed. I even considered removing all the equipment and leaving the training early, which I was told is a common reaction. Despite how difficult I found my experience, I'm glad that I did it, and I'm confident what I learned will stay with me and help me to care better for people affected by dementia. Find out more. Virtual Dementia Tour training is provided by Training to Care, 01376 573 999, www.trainingtocare.co.uk. Kent Dementia Action Alliance is a network to direct and signpost people and organisations to useful and local information. www.dementiafriendlykent.org.uk. If you're interested in dementia research, you can sign up to Join Dementia Research. Visit www.joindementiaresearch.nihr.ac.uk for more details, to sign up or request a paper application form. Fire safety at home for people with dementia. Sadly, fires at home are a big risk for people aged over 80, and particularly for people with dementia, who can go back to old ways of doing things, such as putting electric kettles on the stove to boil or using old-fashioned chip pans. Other hazards are leaving gas or electric heaters near curtains and hanging clothes on bar heaters to dry. People with dementia may also find it more difficult to escape or understand the situation if there is a fire. Relatives should leave their contact details in an obvious place for the fire service to contact if there is a problem. Kent Fire and Rescue Service, KFRS, offers a free safe and well service to anyone who is over 70 or has mobility problems or is vulnerable. Call the KFRS Home Safety Team on 0800 923 7000 or email home@kent.fire-uk.org. Let's hear it for the boys. For children and young people who rely on hearing aids, appointments can be lengthy and mean time out of school, missing valuable lessons. Our Children's Hearing Service has teamed up with local councils to deliver SIP and sign sessions. Chloe Crouch travelled to Medway to find out more. The Children's Centre at All Faiths Academy in Stroud is a hive of activity and noise when you walk in for a sip and sign session. Set up by Medway Council and supported by KCHFT's Children's Hearing Service, the sessions offer support, advice and an all-important cup of tea for parents of children who have hearing impairment. The Hearing Service also offers bespoke ear mould sessions four times a year for these children. Audiology assistant Ruth Bannister said, "Children and young people need to have their ear molds changed more regularly than adults because they're still growing and changing. To take time out of school to go to an appointment means some children can lose a whole day just to have the molds taken. By coming into the school, we can provide this care quickly and easily, and they only miss a small portion of lessons. We send the molds away, and within a week, the new bespoke molds are mailed to the patient's home. It's a great example of how we can provide real community care, and we absolutely love seeing the children here." With the support of Advisory Teacher for Hearing Impairment Jane Elworthy and her team from Medway Council, parents and children are also encouraged to use sign language and interact with other children who have a hearing impairment or who wear hearing aids. 17-year-old George Broadhurst has been a hearing service patient since he was three. Mum Jill said, "George was born at 27 weeks and has ataxic cerebral palsy. By the time he was three, we were aware he was having difficulty with language and his hearing. He was diagnosed with bilateral sensory neural high-functioning hearing loss, and the team has supported him ever since. The support has helped George thrive. A student at Stroud Academy, George is studying AS levels in maths, accounting and business. He is also completing a Duke of Edinburgh Silver Award and dedicates time to WizKids, a mobility charity for disabled children. He said, "I want to be an accountant when I'm older, and I want to do the Duke of Edinburgh Gold too, as that involves a trip to Finland." For Sally Sutton, the hearing service is invaluable. Son Hayden Meaney is 3 years old. He spent the first 2 weeks of his life in intensive care. At 3.5 weeks, he failed the newborn hearing screening test and was referred to the Children's Hearing Service. Sally, who lives with her partner and Hayden in Gillingham, said, "Hayden has mild to moderate hearing loss as well as epilepsy, and he is under review for ADHD and autism. He has been wearing hearing aids since he was 2 months old, and the team knows him really well. I like coming to these sessions as I can meet other mums and chat to the audiologists about Hayden's progress." The Children's Hearing Service. The service offers hearing assessment and solutions for children from birth to 16 years old in West Kent, Medway and Swale. If you are concerned about your child's hearing, speak to your GP or a healthcare professional who can refer them to this service. To find out more about the family sign language sessions, email kentchft.childhearing@nhs.net. For more information, go to www.kentcht.nhs.uk/children's-hearing-service.
Looking after Lisa. Canterbury Special Care Dental Team doesn't work in the same way as a regular dental surgery. The team provides dental care to people with special needs, such as learning disabilities, dementia or phobias. Chloe Crouch went to meet one family to find out what difference the dental team has made to them. For 71-year-old Sandra Fagg, the past 45 years have been all about caring for youngest daughter, Lisa. Like many carers in the UK, Sandra's life has taken a back seat, while the mother of four has fought for, worried about and championed the needs of her disabled daughter. When Lisa was born, you didn't have all the scans that pregnant women have now, so we had no idea she would have special needs, said Sandra. My husband and I looked at one another when she was born, as if to say, what on earth do we do now? We promised each other we would take her home and love her until the day she dies, and that's what we have done every single day for 45 years. Lisa was born with cerebral palsy. She is epileptic, blind, has learning disabilities and is wheelchair bound. She was also recently diagnosed with bowel cancer. For Sandra and husband Peter, who live in Sandwich with Lisa, the challenges of looking after a disabled child were considerable, not least because, as Sandra admits, we were not really the type of people to ask for help, We just went home and got on with it. Now, she says the special services and help Lisa receives has made the world of difference to their lives. Lisa attends the Martha Trust in Sandwich 5 days a week and stays there for 2 nights, giving Sandra some much-needed respite. This is especially important now that Peter has also been diagnosed with cancer and dementia, as Sandra is now caring for him as well as their daughter. Sandra said, "I thought we'd won the lottery when Lisa was given a place there. They are constantly stimulating and caring for her, and I don't have to worry. It's made such a difference to our lives knowing she is being well cared for. She is such a happy girl, and she rarely cries unless she is in pain. Even though she doesn't speak, she laughs a lot and can make noise, and I always know how she is feeling. She loves music and food, and you should hear her when we mention fish and chips, her favourite dinner." Another specialist service supporting Lisa is the Canterbury Special Care Dental Team, where she has been a patient for 17 years. Based at Canterbury Health Centre, every member of the team goes out of their way to make sure their patients feel comfortable, safe, and well looked after. Their dedication recently won them a runners-up place for compassionate care in KCHFT's Staff Awards. Dental nurse team leader Amy Lawrence said, "We really pride ourselves on our compassionate care. Treating patients with special needs can be a challenge, but we always make the effort to introduce ourselves with a big smile and give patients the time they need to receive the best level of care. We get to know our patients on a personal level so we can treat them as an individual." In one case where a patient with complex learning disabilities was particularly nervous about attending the surgery, the team took the time to compile a personal step-by-step guide of how a visit to the surgery would go. The guide included pictures of staff members, how the car park looks, the main entrance to the health centre, the waiting area, and how the surgery is laid out. The patient's mum was really grateful for our efforts to welcome her son and put him at ease. In Lisa's case, the team is able to treat her under conscious sedation to help put her at ease and make sure she safely receives her dental care. Special care dentistry consultant Pana Shah explained, "To make sure we cause as little anxiety and stress as possible, we sedate her so she is calm and safe. Lisa does not verbally communicate with us, so we always make sure she has a family member with her so she is not on her own and there is someone there who knows her. To sedate Lisa, Pana administers medication through a cannula in her hand, which makes her feel sleepy and relaxed. It is a common sedative used during minor painful or unpleasant procedures and is a safe way to care for people who might struggle to stay calm and still, such as those with a learning disability, complex medical conditions, or an extreme phobia. We are specially trained to make sure we can provide the best care to people with special needs. Oral health is so important and is connected to the rest of our physical health. For people who are unable to look after their own dental health or see a regular dentist, we are here to look after them." Sandra agrees. "The team here is brilliant, keeping Lisa calm and controlled and giving her the care she needs. I feel like they always go the extra mile for her, and it really puts my mind at ease." Lisa was photographed with activity team member Graham Price at the Martha Trust in Sandwich. Our special thanks to the charity, which supports Lisa with respite care and engages her in activities including crafts and messy play. To find out more about the Trust and donate to the charity, visit www.marthatrust.org.uk.
A calm approach. Chadney and AG joined the Special Care and Paediatric Community Dental Service in May. As a dental care trainee, she is part of a national training programme for dentists, receiving additional postgraduate mentorship and training to help her career. "I'm based at two community centres in East London as well as at Barts Dental Hospital, Whitechapel. My two-year dental core training post is made up of three rotations, two in hospitals and one in the community, KCHFT. No day is the same, and that's what makes it interesting. Every patient is different. We introduce patients to the dental setting and ease them into treatment with emphasis on oral health education. I take great satisfaction in seeing an improvement in patient confidence and dental health. I'm hoping to do more training in sedation in community care, as it's an area I'm really keen to gain more experience in, and it will enable me to carry out treatment on a wider range of patients. My day starts at 8:45 a.m. with a team talk. We cover points in our internal weekly trust update and check the appointments list to see which patients are in and what we might need to do to prepare for them. Then we confirm all the instruments are available at the clinic and that all necessary equipment is working. The number of patients booked in varies depending on the treatment and their needs. Patients use our service for many reasons, but it could be because of their medical history, mental health issues, a disability or a phobia. We also provide home visits for housebound patients and carry out oral health screening in schools and care homes. In all, it's a very varied and interesting job. In our service, we have dentists who are experienced in providing treatment under sedation and general anaesthesia. These services help treat people who are particularly anxious or who suffer from a severe gag reflex. We also have facilities to treat wheelchair users. I enjoy my job because it involves a combination of clinical skills and patient interaction, some of whom have complex needs. I take great satisfaction in seeing an improvement in patient confidence and dental health. We see patients on referral from general dental practitioners, doctors and other healthcare professionals, and we offer a full range of NHS dental treatments, ranging from simple fillings to root canal treatment, extractions to more complex restorative treatment, including crowns and dentures. At lunchtimes, I take a short break away from the surgery. It's important to get away and get some fresh air before starting the afternoon session, where we have a routine patient list as well as dedicated emergency slots for people who may be suffering from dental pain or infection. After the last patient is seen, we make sure the surgeries are cleaned and any patient-sensitive information is returned to secure storage. A day for me ends around 5 p.m. and then I like to head home and cook. It's a great way to unwind after a busy day. I know it's often said that people don't like seeing a dentist, but I hope our patients do, as we try really hard to make their experience the best it can be for them. Yes, our job can be demanding, but having patience, a gentle manner and a calm approach can go a long way. What's up, Gov? Impressed by the One U Health Improvement Shop. John Fletcher, our public governor for Ashford, popped along to the One U Shop, a partnership project supporting health improvement. Here he talks about his visit. Having popped along to the One U Shop and found it really interesting, I would love to hear what other people who have visited think of the place and what it offers. The shop opened in the Park Mall Shopping Centre, Ashford, in February. It is the only one of its type in the southeast of England. A joint project with Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust, Kent County Council and Ashford Borough Council, the shop brings our local health improvement services together, encouraging people to lead a healthier life. Anyone can pop in for a free NHS health check. Other services include support to stop smoking, advice on healthy weight for adults and children, on-the-spot blood pressure checks, weekly weigh-in service, support and advice on a range of lifestyle issues, including how to manage long-term conditions. Best of all, you don't have to make an appointment. I was welcomed by Joe, Beverly and Claire, who work for KCHFT. Several people came to check how they got on this week on a weight reduction programme they had chosen. There is some fun stuff too. For example, you can don a fat suit to feel what it's like to carry too much weight around, and there's a game of guessing to see if you can guess how much sugar and fats are in certain foods. In the Booth of Truth, you can find out your true weight and total body weight in private and receive on-the-spot advice about how to reach and maintain a healthy weight. The One U Shop is open on Tuesday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and on Saturday 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and closed on Sunday and Monday. As a representative on the Council of Governors, I am very keen to hear about your experience visiting the One U Shop. Was it easy to find? Was the advice helpful? Any comments you share will be passed on. Contact me at kchft.governors@nhs.net or write to Governor Support Office, The Oast, Unit D, Hermitage Court, Hermitage Lane, Barming, Maidstone, K. Kent, ME, 16, 9NT. Our governors. Governors are volunteers who represent you when thinking about health services. The role is important because it provides a direct link between you and the trust. Here, in their annual report to members, our governors report on their achievements in the past year, 2016-17. During the past 12 months, we, your governors, were out and about discovering how you feel about your local health services and representing you within the Trust. Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust provides a lot of local health services outside of hospital, services you come into contact with all the time. So there was some change in the team making up your Council of Governors in 2016-17. We sadly wave goodbye to a few who moved on to pastures new, having done a splendid job. We also welcome new faces, including a new staff governor and six newly elected public governors. There are still some of us old-timers who've been here since day one. All in all, it was a busy and productive year, working with you and with the Trust to make sure the Trust is as brilliant as it can be, providing the best care and the best services. Sonia Big, Lead Governor. Out and about with our governors. It was a jam-packed year for our Council of Governors as they rolled up their sleeves and got stuck into duties with vigour. For example, in June 2016, when the Health Watch Red Bus took a tour around many areas of Kent, our governors hitched a ride to talk to people about how they feel about health services. Then, in July 2016, the Trust was at Faversham Health Day, showcasing a range of services. We were there talking to people and exchanging information about their experiences. Responses are always fed back to the Trust to the people who can make a difference. That way we can keep up the good work where you like what we are doing and try to improve anything you have said needs a tweak. Governors attended Hospital Fates in late summer 2016, chatting to people to make sure they understood who their local governors are and how they can be contacted. We need more help to do this if anyone has suggestions. We'd love to hear from you. Contact details will be given later. In February, in Ashford, the Trust opened the One You shop and our Ashford Governor John Fletcher popped along to see what it was all about. The shop brings all our local health improvement services into one place, encouraging people to lead a healthier life. In March this year, the Trust held an event in Canterbury called Let's Discuss Diabetes, which was attended by more than 160 people and featured services that help prevent and control diabetes. Our governors were there alongside governors from East Kent Hospitals University NHS Foundation Trust. Carol Coleman, our governor for Dover and Deal, gave a warm welcome to a range of speakers at the event, and Sue Stevens, governor for Tunbridge and Morling, is working with the Trust to arrange a similar event in West Kent later this year. Other governors were out and about meeting our Foundation Trust members and others to see how they feel about our services. We caught up with a cross-section of staff who work tirelessly to provide our services. These are tough times financially in the NHS. There's been much change to try to use resources as well as possible, which brings its own set of challenges. So it's essential for us to understand the challenges staff are experiencing and, just as importantly, appreciate the amazing achievements they have made in improving the lives of the people they care for. Governors work behind the scenes in various other ways. We meet as full Council of Governors in public four times a year. We serve on committees of the council. We get involved in Clinical Commissioning Group, CCG, and local GP patient experience groups. We make connections, networking with other organisations which provide healthcare to local people. We also take part in quality safety walkabouts, covering a wide range of services and assuring ourselves that we are providing safe and quality services for local people. Our members at a glance, as at the 25th of July 2017. Ashford, 1,052. Canterbury, 1,779. Dartford, 421. Dover, 941. Gravesham, 514. Maidstone, 1,339. Sevenoaks, 877. Shepway, 676. Swale, 1,194. Thanet, 910. Tunbridge and Morling, 739. Tunbridge Wells, 350. Rest of England, 1,782. Your governors. We care. Contact us by phoning 01622 211 908 or emailing kcht.governors@nhs.net. You can find out more information about the role governors play and being a member of our trust at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/governors. It was a busy year. Here we look back at the past year and how we performed as a trust. You can read our full annual report at www.kentcht.nhs.uk. Here's an overview of our year. How did we do in 2016-17? Well, we continued to grow and build on our excellent reputation for delivering a high quality service to the people of Kent, East Sussex and parts of London. A major player in delivery of the Kent and Medway Sustainability and Transformation Partnership, we refreshed our strategic goals and values to ensure we are in the best shape to deliver all that is required of us. We're continuing to improve care and quality for our patients. We opened our third specialist wound centre using the latest technology to heal people faster and worked with partners from the health, social care and voluntary sector to launch our Home First scheme, getting people home safely and sooner from hospital. We continued using social media, including Facebook, Twitter and YouTube, to communicate with patients and colleagues. Our 4.2k followers on Facebook is greater than any other provider or NHS trust in Kent. Our focus remains on our patients, our people and our partners. Our Care Quality Commission rating remains as good, following an inspection in June 2014. At the end of 2016-17, we published our new people strategy at the same time as our NHS staff survey results were announced. We were delighted to see improvements and staff remained more likely than their colleagues nationally to recommend the Trust services to friends and family and as a place to work. We hope our people strategy will help to solve some of the issues with recruitment and retention, which remains challenging across the country. We worked hard to develop even stronger links with our partners in East Kent. This includes signing a memorandum of agreement with East Kent Hospitals University NHS Foundation Trust, forging closer links with our clinical commissioning groups and GP partners, such as Ashford Clinical Providers, as well as with our local authority partners and community and voluntary organisations. We were successful in retaining and winning business, for example, a 3-year contract to provide a chronic pain service in Hillingdon, London, and contracts to provide sexual health and podiatry services in Medway. Our dental services became one of the largest providers of community dental in the country, winning additional contracts in 8 London boroughs. Our community involvement continued to grow. At the end of March 2017, we had 12,557 public members, several newly appointed governors, and involvement from patients on our committees and working groups. In March 2017, we held our first ever event for members, focusing on diabetes. We retained the school health service for primary and secondary school age children across Kent, and our contract for health improvement services was extended. We were awarded a further Healthy Business Award for our work towards looking after our colleagues' health and well-being, and there was success in the Kent, Surrey and Sussex Apprenticeships Awards. Our pioneering NHS app, Born to Move, designed to help parents with their newborn babies, hit more than 10,000 downloads. The Trust stayed within budget and made a small required surplus. We continued to have among the lowest running costs of NHS community health providers in England, and our use of resources rating is at 1, the best possible score. Quick Fire 5 with Paul Murray. Paul has been a teacher on the Isle of Sheppey for more than 40 years. He is also a member of KCHFT's Patient Engagement Network, PEN. Anna Hind finds out how he encourages young people to get involved in their community. 1. Could you tell us a bit about yourself? I've been a history teacher for 42 years and now I'm the Community Involvement Coordinator for the Oasis Academy in Minster. After a recent heart attack, I was told to slow down and I am reducing my hours this autumn, but I'm still as busy as ever. Community involvement has always been part of my role, from the days when I was deputy head. That passion for getting young people engaged with their community is what drives me on. 2. Why are you so passionate about helping the NHS? The NHS is amazing. I've practically been rebuilt and repaired over the years. At 10, I had TB. I dislocated my hip at 12 and had it pinned. I've had a heart attack, a tumour removed, and I've recently had a hip replacement on the other side. So in light of all that, I thought it's about time I pay something back. We need to stand up for our health service because it's fantastic. 3. How are you involved with KCHFT? I'm a member of the Patient Engagement Network, which means I sit on groups and committees and even interview panels. If there's a survey or a patient leaflet that needs feedback, then the PEN is contacted and I'm always keen to help and give my thoughts and opinions. I can offer my views from an education perspective and from having experience working with children and young people over the years. I also sit on the Medicines Management Group. 4. How are you trying to get young people involved? It's really important that young people are engaged in their local community. That's why we started the Dementia Cafe at the Oasis. My mum had dementia, so I didn't want to do it at first, but the pupils here were so passionate. The students are brilliant, and I want to shout about them. 5. Can you tell us more about the Dementia Cafe? As a school, we're very active in our community work. We raise money for the Alzheimer's Society, and we are one of 8 schools in the country that is part of the Peacefields Project. We started the Dementia Cafe 4 years ago. We run one per team, so 6 a year, and we use our contacts at churches, care homes and Dementia Care for Kent to encourage people to attend. We usually have around 60 people for tea. The students really enjoy volunteering at the cafe and it shows they care. The pupils set up everything. They do all the work. I just get sent out with the shopping list. Your directory of community services. We provide more than 60 services to keep you in the best of health. For many of our services, you will need a referral from a GP or healthcare professional. However, there are services you can contact yourself. Here are some you might find useful. Minor injury or illness. Cuts or bruises, strains or sprains, or possibly broken bones. You don't need an appointment to pop into one of our minor injury units. Some of our units treat minor illnesses too. Edenbridge and District War Memorial Hospital, Mill Hill, Edenbridge, TN8 5DA. Phone 01732 862 137. 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday, Wednesday and Friday, closed between 1 and 2 p.m. Closed Christmas Day. Gravesham Community Hospital, Bath Street, Gravesend, DA11 ODG. Phone 01474 360816. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. Royal Victoria Hospital, Folkestone, Radnor Park Avenue, Folkestone CT19 5BN. Phone 01303 852 727. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. Sevenoaks Hospital, Hospital Road, Sevenoaks, TN 13 3PG. Phone 01732 470200, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. Closed bank holidays. Sheppey Community Hospital, Plover Road, Minster on Sea, ME 12 3LT. Phone 01795 879 104. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day of the year. closed Christmas Day. X-ray 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays. Sittingbourne Memorial Hospital, Bell Road, Sittingbourne, ME10 4DT. Phone 01795 418 300. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, including bank holidays. Victoria Hospital Deal, London Road, Deal, CT 14, 9UA. Phone 01304 865 437. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays. MIUs operated by other providers include Canterbury, Kent and Canterbury Hospital, Ethelbert Road, Canterbury CT 1 3NG. Phone 01227 766 877 for the switchboard. www.ekhuft.nhs.uk. Crowborough War Memorial Hospital, Southview Road, Crowborough TN6 1HB. Phone 01892 603 602. www.sussexcommunity.nhs.uk. Dover Buckland Hospital, Coombe Valley Road, Dover, CT 17 OHD. Phone 01304 222 621. www.ekhuft.nhs.uk. Faversham, Faversham Health Centre, Bank Street, Faversham, ME 13 8QR. Phone 01795 562011. www.favershammedicalpractice.nhs.uk. Gillingham Balmoral Gardens Walk-in Centre, Balmoral Gardens, Gillingham ME7 5LF. Phone 01634 331177. www.medwayhealthcarecentre.org.uk. Whitstable Estuary View Medical Centre, Borman Way, Whitstable, CT 5 3SE. Phone 01227 284 309. www.whitstablemedicalpractice.co.uk. Visit each provider's website for opening times and more information. For more information about other health services, go to Health Help Now at www.healthhelpnow-nhs.net. Need waiting times for MIUs and A&Es in East Kent? Download Waitlist from the App Store or Google Play. Directory to other services. Children's therapies. Physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech and language therapists, special nurse advisors, key workers and therapy assistants who provide a specialist therapy service for disabled children from birth to 19 years old. You can find full details at www.kentcht.nhs.uk. Customer care team. If you have a comment, complaint or compliment, call the customer care team. Phone 0300 123 1807. Text 07899 903 499. Email kcht.cct@nhs.net. Dental. General dental services provide a full range of NHS dental treatment for patients in high street settings. Churchill Dental Practice Ramsgate and New Street Dental Practice Sandwich. Phone 0300 303 4930. Falls Prevention East Kent. 12-week prevention and assessment service for anyone at risk of falling or who has fallen. Folkestone and Ashford. Phone 01303 854 488. Swale, Herne Bay and Whitstable, phone 018 795 879 193. Thanet, phone 01843 254 134. Email kcht.fallskent@nhs.net. Kent Continence Service. Advice and support for anyone with bladder and bowel problems. Phone 0300 790 0310. Kent Continence Business Advice Product Delivery Service. Phone 0300 123 1955 or 0330 123 4459. Newborn Hearing Screening Programme. This service offers high-quality newborn hearing screening and safe and effective assessment for babies in West Kent, Medway and Swale. Phone 0300 123 3071. Physiotherapy. In some areas you can contact the service direct, in others you will need a referral. Call to find out more. Phone 0300 123 0854. Podiatry or foot care. Our podiatry team specialises in foot health, from common foot problems to more complicated conditions needing surgical correction. You need to be referred by a GP or healthcare professional. Phone 0300 123 6756. Toenail cutting service. Starting at £13 per session, we can cut your toenails for you. Ideal for people who find it hard to look after their feet and who are not entitled to this care through the NHS. Please book in advance. Phone 0300 123 1554. www.kentcht.nhs.uk/nails. Sexual health. Worried about symptoms, need contraception or just looking for advice? We run daytime and evening clinics with walk-in and appointment sessions. Services run across Kent. Please contact us for more information. Phone 0300 790 0245. Visit www.kent.gov.uk/sexual health. South East Drivability. Assessment and advice on driving, car adaptation and car choice for disabled drivers and passengers. Email kcht.sedriveability@nhs.net. Phone 0300 013 4886. Advice for carers. Carers Trust, national charity with a network of partner organisations providing services to carers. Phone 0844 8000 4361. Web www.carers.org. Carers UK. Carers UK helps millions of people who look after an older, disabled or seriously ill family member or friend. Phone 0808 808 7777. www.carersuk.org. Carers Direct. Confidential information and advice for carers. Phone 0300 123 1053. www.nhs.uk/carers direct. East Kent Carers Consortium. Provides carer assessment and support services by identifying family carers and arranging for their needs to be assessed. Working closely with Carers First and Involve Kent. www.eastkentcarers.org.uk. Kent County Council. Find out what is available for carers. Phone 03000041 6161. For emergency support out of hours, phone 03000419191. www.kent.gov.uk. You can also find more help and advice on our website, www.kcht.nhs.uk/carers. Health and Wellbeing Services. One phone number, 0300 123 1220. One email address, kchft.highreferral@nhs.net. Stop smoking. Option 1. Most smokers want to quit, and if you're one of them, we can help. We have clinics, quick clubs and groups at times and days to suit most people. If you can't get an appointment, then we also offer telephone support and consultation via Skype. You're up to 10 times more likely to succeed with our help. Healthy weight, option 2. If you're sick of the muffin top, bored with the beer belly, or just had enough of yo-yo dieting, we can help. We run a range of programmes to help you and your family to reach a healthy weight. East Kent only. For details of programmes in West Kent, contact your local borough council. Fresh Start is our successful free weight management programme for anyone who wants to reach a healthy weight and stay there for life. Join a local group or get one-to-one support based on guidelines from the British Heart Foundation. Health Walks. Led by friendly volunteers, health walks are great for people who are recovering from illness or who just need an extra bit of motivation to take more exercise. They are fun, friendly and completely free. There's no need to book. Check the website for details. Ready, Steady, Go is a free after-school club for children aged 7 to 11 and their grown-ups who need a little extra help getting fit and healthy. Specialist Weight Management, SWEL only, is a free 12-month weight loss programme that addresses diet, exercise and emotional well-being for people with a BMI of over 35. Exercise Referral. This is for anyone with a health condition who would like some help to increase their activity levels. You can get 12 weeks of reduced rate support at a local leisure centre. GP referral only. Health Trainers, option 3. Do you want to make some lifestyle changes but aren't sure how to start? Call a health trainer. You can get up to 6 free and confidential sessions that can get you on the road to a happier, healthier you. NHS Health Checks, option 4. If you're aged 40 to 74, you could be eligible for a free NHS health check. Health checks take just 30 minutes and can help to check your risk of developing heart disease, diabetes or kidney disease in the future. Speak to your GP or call the number above to find a clinic near you. We can also provide checks in workplaces. Just call the number to find out more. Expert Patients Programme, option 5. A 6-week self-management programme for people living with one or more long-term health condition. East Kent only. For details of programmes in West Kent, contact your local borough council. www.oneukent.org.uk. Because there's only one you. And that concludes the reading of the autumn 2017 edition of Community Health. Caring for you, close to home. Provided by Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust.